Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard, a change and transformation consultant and self-confessed fintech enthusiast. And today, we continue our series looking at the evolution of fintech in 2023. And super excited to have Ash on the show today. Ash is the head of sales over at RFI Global. Ash, welcome. Super excited to have you today.
Thank you, Richard. Likewise.
Brilliant. And as we jump into the show, I've been asking all the participants that have been collaborating on this initiative in the last few weeks, what excites them about fintech in 2023? So I'm going to throw that question out to you at the start of the show, and yeah, let us know what excites you about fintech in 2023.
Thanks, Richard. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be with you on the show. Fintech is definitely one of the most interesting spaces. There's lots of drama. There is a new news article every day. It's an ever-changing space. It's also got an unidentified potential. You see companies that have started 7 years ago delivering billion-dollar valuations, more than a traditional bank ever would have or will have. And it's also in a very inclusive environment where anybody can come from any background and deliver an impact. So these are some of the things that I find really exciting about this space.
I totally agree with you. And one of the things that's come up in my chats over the last few weeks, actually the last few years, is the inclusivity factor that seems to be at the core of a lot of not just product design, but also team designs and what have you in fintech. And I think as we move forward, I can see that definitely being a catalyst to success and growth, not just in our local market in the UK and in Europe, but also as far as Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. I don't know what you think about that, just to get your thoughts on the inclusivity side of fintech.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we see fintech brands being open to people coming from all kinds of backgrounds. We know some of the founders of the Buy Now, Pay Later came from retail backgrounds. You see that, you meet these people at events. There's a sense of interest in the social impact, in mirroring people's values, in specializing in niches and the customer centricity. And it certainly is opened the doors when we talk about financial inclusion, for instance, and some of the payment fintechs that we know and we talk about in day-to-day basis, opening the doors for consumers in rural areas, for instance, in Africa and India, to have access to money transfers and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, I think there is a huge potential for growth, and it's not just opening up the doors for consumers to partake, but also for professionals to come in and deliver the experiences that are more relevant to the consumer of today.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying about opening the doors. But as you mentioned, I also know that last year, 2022, has been a bit of a challenge and ride for a number of different players in the fintech ecosystem. There's been a large downturn in valuations. There's also been the collapse of FTX, crypto exchange, and a number of other things that have taken place, which means the environment that we live in in fintech is changing, right? And it's evolving. And as part of that, what do you see as, you know, we head into a new year, into 2023, what do you see as some of the main challenges that are facing fintechs as we kickstart a new year?
That's a good question. I will be using some of obviously I'm very close to the research that we do here at RFI Global. We, for those of you who don't know RFI, we're a research and insights partner to about 400 plus financial services globally. We focus exclusively on financial services. We don't do anything outside of that. And we speak to 500,000 consumers, 100,000 businesses, 20,000 merchants globally every year. We ask them everything about their usage, attitudes, future intentions towards banking, wealth, and payment. And we run a digital banking study, which is very relevant to the topic of today, where we speak to 24,000 consumers every year about digital banking and digital channels, whether it's fintech or traditional. And some of the challenges that I see in the data, I think the first one is the trust and the security element. The second is the digital experience. And the third, and this is not necessarily based on simply just data, but also on a hunch, I've been in the industry for 2 decades. So it's a combination of the two values, companies' values. So when we talk about the trust and security, I think, as I mentioned earlier, trust, according to our data, we still see fintechs lagging behind in terms of trust behind traditional banks and some and government institutions. This is an issue that any new brand will face. However, we know some fintechs have been around for a while now, and yet the issue remains persistent. This is a huge barrier that fintechs will have to conquer to get to the next level. I think one of the really important areas to highlight about trust is, as we break it down in our digital banking study, and by the way, the study covers 12 markets across Europe, Asia Pac, and the Americas, is that at least there are no clear winners in terms of trust. Most markets remain on similar levels. But the really important part is that when we break down trust, there are obviously different various elements that contribute to that. But the top two are trusting financial institutions to keep their money, consumers' money safe or customers' money safe, and their data safe. Obviously, there are other elements like accessibility and range of products and so on. But these are the two main ones. And the news and the data breaches and the cybersecurity issues that we've seen in the press recently have not helped the case. I mean, according to our study, at least half of those 24,000 consumers, or nearly half of them, have either heard or been targeted by fraudulent activities. And closer to home here in the UK, actually the UK is one of those prime target markets for those activities. So that's an area that I believe will be a big challenge for fintechs. Now, why is trust really important? It's not just important for the acquisition of that customer, but it's also important for the deepening of that relationship and driving loyalty with that customer. I think in some ways, if you can't have that, then you're not going to be able to deliver a profitable model. And we all know and understand how challenging that has been for some of the fintechs. You talked about some of the valuation areas and the quality of the customer, and there is a lot in the news about that. Another really good example where trust has been preventing fintech from reaching its potential is open finance. I mean, this is an area that could deliver a huge value to both fintechs and their customers, you know, easy access to more personalized services, whether it's financial or otherwise. Yet customers remain reluctant to trust fintechs with their data. They still keep that trust with their traditional banks. So I think that's one of the main barriers. And moving on to the digital experience. That's another one, because actually, if I take step back a little bit in the trust, the biggest age group that fintechs have succeeded at gaining trust, and the only age group where trust in fintechs is high enough, is the 25 to the 34 age group. And it's a segment, and it makes sense, hopefully, that is the case, because it's the segment that fintechs have been focusing on mainly. So they've had some success with that age group, and moving on to the digital experience. That
just to hop in there for a second, because I think it is quite a vital topic: trust and security and building that. I mean, I think we also need to note that, you know, definitely over the last 10 or 12 or even 15 years, or since 2008, there's been a lot of disruption, a lot of innovation in the space, and the regulator's role has been one of helping the fintechs to build that ecosystem. So giving them the sort of the guide rails to operate within, but not really taking into task in a way. But, you know, as we evolve in this space, I see that this is going to change potentially. It might evolve along with the maturity of the ecosystem, along with the maturity of the market. So rather than growth at all costs, it's more around making certain that risks are mitigated and the consumers are protected. So the likes of, you know, the FTX example doesn't happen in the future. There's much more protection around that. And then that leads to more trust, more security. And ultimately, in my view, I don't know what your opinion is, but also, you know, further adoption into the higher categories, maybe a different age group. The other age groups out there can also then go, okay, this has been tested, this has been determined by the regulators or safeguarded by the regulators. Now we can start investing and putting our capital to use in these institutions. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, I 100% agree with you. And actually, we've seen a lot of fintechs taking initiative even before any regulation comes into space, collaborating together, thinking about ways they can create a code of ethics that governs their business, and it's an incredibly important and vital step, because it's not only paving the way for the regulator collaborations with regulators, but it's also driving that confidence amongst the consumers and investors, both of whom are equally important.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to be proactive in this space. That's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So in moving on to the next challenge I mentioned earlier is the digital experience. And you know, as I mentioned, that the fintechs typically have managed to succeed the most amongst the 25 to the 34 age group. This is an age group that's digitally savvy. They're the future of the customer of the future. They're more digitally savvy. They're more price centric, and they have really high expectations of their providers, whether it's a technology provider or a fintech provider. So it's harder to deliver an experience, and I don't envy fintechs for the task at hand. But I think the challenge that fintechs are facing or will continue to face is delivering that balance between giving an experience that meets the expectations of those customers, but also not overwhelm them with features and tasks in that app or that platform that to the point that they're not accessible, that they're not being used on a day-to-day basis. So that's another challenge, I think. And why is digital experience really important? We see in our digital banking study that I referenced earlier that the more digitally engaged your customers are, the higher your KPIs, the higher your acquisition, the higher your customer satisfaction, the higher your cross-sell, which is the deepening of that relationship. The only drawback, and it's a very slight drawback, is that retention element. And I think it can be easily counter-affected by delivering a competitive wide range of services to make sure that you retain that customer.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
Nice. And you also mentioned, which is quite interesting, you also mentioned values as the third one. And what are your insights on what you're thinking about saying now?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a topic that I've been digesting for a while. Actually, we take part in some of your discussions with fintechs, but also I am participating in Money 2020 and a few other events, and we speak to the consumers and businesses every day. We see that themes like global warming, financial inclusion, green investing, social impact becoming more and more important, not just for businesses, but for consumers. And I think this has been accelerated by the pandemic. People are, and social media, poor people, we have a society that's significantly more aware than before. I mean, I speak to my niece, who's 14 years old today, and she talks to me about global warming, which is very normal right now. But if you came to me at the age of 14, the biggest concern I had was the few wars that were happening around the world, which is still a concern, I imagine. But the awareness level has increased. People want to be more connected. They are feeling more responsible towards their environment, towards their society. And so it becomes really important for them to bank and deal with organizations that mirror these values and that put their money where their mouth is. I've dedicated 2 decades of my life, which is pretty much half of my life, to the industry. I am a member of the LGBT community. Thank you. And I still, to this day, get phone calls from friends and relatives who say to me, look, we have no access to insurance policies and so on. So there are areas where the industry can deliver impact, can deliver value, and can differentiate themselves to mirror those values and gain the loyalty of the customer.
Totally agree with that. And as we look forward to 2023, what do you see as some of the biggest opportunities that the folks out there in the fintech ecosystem can pick up and start building, start creating, start evolving the ecosystem, whether that's in partnerships, whether that's in collaboration, whether that's in building a new product? What do you see out there in the market as the main opportunities?
If we just follow on from some of the challenges that we've been talking about, I think one of the biggest opportunities that fintechs have been served, especially after the pandemic, is the acceleration of digitization. Now, 3/4 of consumers are using digital banking at least once a week, according to our global digital banking study. Now, that would have taken fintechs and technology companies years to get to. And we see the level going down a little bit, but it is consistent. So that's an area that is delivering. And actually, we also see the use of fintechs going up, and we expect it to continue to go up, which is very promising. So that's an opportunity. If combined with delivering a really decent wide range of services that are competitive, I think that's going to deliver a huge amount of value to both the end customer and the fintechs. But also, I think when we talk about values, and I don't mean it just in terms of ethical values, but also what does a fintech stand for? What does this brand stand for? Where do we specialize? Let's not try to do everything. I think one of the reasons most business models, successful business models that I'm acquainted with, and I maybe talk about RFI, the feedback that we get from our partners is that they love working with us is because we specialize in financial services. We deliver granularity. We deliver local granularity, global best practices. So we sit in that niche. We're very comfortable. Our customers trust us in that area. And I think the opportunity for fintechs there is to identify what their brand stands for in terms of proposition and value and focus in that area, and then come together with a bank where maybe that fintech does not have the trust, but has the values and the proposition and the user experience, and partner with an institution that does have the trust in order to deliver that to the customer. So as in some respects, for the younger sibling to come along with the older sibling and deliver a more customer-centric model. So I see the opportunity in the acceleration of digitization that's going to be beneficial for both the traditional and the new entrants in the market. Also, that value aspect is giving them an opportunity to differentiate themselves in ways other than pricing. I mean, pricing will still be important. It's, you know, we're talking about how expensive the energy bill is earlier. So in a time with high inflation and cost of living, pricing remains important, but you can still differentiate yourself and gain your customers' loyalty based on values. That's an area that was not there before. I don't think, not in the prominent way it is today. So these are all opportunities that I believe, you know, fintechs will have to run for.
You know, I love what you're saying. It's something that definitely people can pick up and look actually at what they want to achieve in the next year, but actually in the next 5 years, and also what they want to achieve in the ecosystem as a whole. And look outside the box, right? Look outside the box, and as you're mentioning, see who you can partner with, who you can collaborate with, because that's where the synergy comes, but also that's where potentially the acceleration comes. Not just as an individual or individual as a company, but as the ecosystem. Then it's quite fun to see the adoption thereafter, right? And as we look to wrap up the show, what's the one word of advice that you would like to give leaders in the fintech ecosystem? What advice would you like to give them as they head into 2023?
One advice is, I would say, don't give up. Keep going. It's a tough time for everyone, whether you're a new entrant or a long-term business. So keep going. Stay focused on your customer. Collaborate wherever possible.
Yeah, sage advice. Really sage advice there. Listen, Ash, it's been really nice having you on the show today. Looking forward to the release of this and also the article. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you and also the team at RFI Globe?
Absolutely. Thanks, Richard. It's been a pleasure being with you. So if anybody wants to get in touch, you can reach me at ashanab@rfi.global, or you can go to our website you just reach out. We'll be more than happy to help. Any questions, whether it's on digital banking, fintechs, or anything outside of that, we'll be happy to help. And it's been a real pleasure being with you, Richard. I look forward to more and more discussions.
Brilliant. And thank you all today for joining us, and looking forward to seeing you all next week when we continue our discussion in how fintechs are going to be evolving in 2023.
Thank you. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.